May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Jan Richardson is an artist, writer, and pastor in the United Methodist Church. Her poems, or blessings, as she calls them, have captured my heart ever since my introduction to her a few years ago. This is a blessing for a whole heart. You think, if you could just imagine it, that would be a beginning. That if you could envision what it would look like, that would be a step toward a heart made whole. This blessing is for when you cannot imagine. This is for when it is difficult to dream of what could lie beyond the fracture, the rupture, the cleaving through which has come a life you do not recognize as your own. When all that inhabits you feels foreign, your heart made strange and beating a broken and unfamiliar song, let there come a word of hope, a voice that speaks into the shattering, reminding you that who you are is here, every shard somehow holding the whole of you that you cannot see, but is taking shape even now, every part of you coming together in an ancient, remembered rhythm that bears you not toward restoration, not toward return, as if you could somehow become unchanged, but steadily deeper into the heart of the one who has already dreamed you complete. In today's gospel, we hear about a man overcome with demons, naked and living among the tombs. It is easy to say that this man needed a blessing for a whole heart. The text says that he was a man of the city, meaning at one time his life was normal and uninterrupted by this unwelcomed plague. Legion, the man responds when Jesus asks him what his name is. Legion, being a unit of around 6,000 Roman soldiers. This man was not just occupied, he was consumed. When Jesus asks him to identify himself, all this man seems to know are the demons which consume him. Echoing Jan's blessing, I imagine this man found it difficult to dream of what a future could look like beyond the fracture and the rupture of the life he no longer recognized as his own. How many of us, when asked about ourselves, think first of the failings and shortcomings that so masterfully hide the God-woven threads of our identity? Or we point to the glittery parts of ourselves in an effort to distract from our shame and despair, which have morphed who we think we really are. And how many of us long for our own hearts to be made whole? The man's whole personhood is wound up in the evil that plagues his human condition. When all that inhabits you feels foreign, Jan says, your heart made strange and beating a broken and unfamiliar song, let there come a word of hope, a voice that speaks into the shattering and bears you steadily deeper into the heart of the one who has already dreamed you complete. The redemptive narrative of Jan's blessing and Jesus' life-giving presence in Gerasene reminds me of a contemporary worship song, which takes the words of St. Paul to the Corinthians to say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, chains are broken, eyes are open. Christ is with us. Christ is with us. Now I have to admit, it is a bit hard for me to read those words instead of sing them, partly because the tune is so ingrained in my head, and also because even on my most dreadful of days, the truth of those words resonates so deep within my bones, I cannot help but want to sing them. I wonder, what was it that drew this demon-possessed man out of the tombs and into the city? Although this demon-possessed man had long ago lost sight of his God-given identity, holy and blessed, a child of God made in the image of God. Although he had lost sight of this, succumbing to the pressures of the numerous demons that lived inside him, as soon as Jesus stepped foot in the land of Gerasene, the man knew that the living God was in his midst. The man knew that something recognizable had arrived. Much like Adam's rejoicing in Genesis when he says, "This at last is bones of my bone and flesh of my flesh," delighting not in his difference from the woman, but in their similarity, the demon-possessed man is able, even if just for a moment, to see past the demons and recognize that there is something about Jesus, Son of the Most High God, that lives also in him. The Spirit of God was drawing him out of the tombs and into new life in Christ. Addictions, prejudice, self-loathing, pent-up resentment, loneliness, self-righteousness, or mental health challenges, Christ is drawing us out of death and into new life in Christ. When the man had been healed, the demons cast out of him, he fell at the feet of Jesus and sat there, basking in the humble glory of his Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Jesus' liberating love had healed him, had saved him, and was making him whole. And Jesus wants to do that with us, too. The man sat at the feet of Jesus, and like a mirror, was able to see reflected back to him who he truly was, holy and blessed, a child of God made in the image of God. In her book, Revelations of Divine Love, Julian of Norwich, a Christian mystic from the Middle Ages, wrote, "And in this, God showed me a little thing, a hazelnut lying in the palm of my hand, and it was as round as any ball. I looked upon it with the eye of my understanding and thought, what may this be? And it was answered, it is all that is made. I marveled how it might last, for I thought it might suddenly have fallen to nothing for its littleness. And again I was answered in my understanding, it lasts and ever shall, for God loves it, and so have all their beginning by the love of God. In this little thing I saw three properties. The first is that God made it, the second that God loves it, and the third that God keeps it." As we begin to understand the gravity of what it means to be made, loved, and kept by God, we will begin to see the intricate design of God in us, not just within ourselves, but in every human person. The God-given desires for wholeness, connection, and right relationship that drew the demon-possessed man out of the tombs are the same desires threaded throughout all of us, connecting us together in our shared hope of redemption. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul says, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." We are baptized in Christ. We put on his salvific life, death, and resurrection, and spend our lives transforming into his likeness. No longer will we be able to look upon another person and see anything but another child of God made in the image of God, recognizing our shared divine identity and our shared longings for wholeness. When we understand and acknowledge our interconnectedness, empathy is born. It is empathizing with the demon-possessed man in recognizing our shared belovedness that allows for one to watch their economic livelihood run off a cliff so that the man might live. It is Christ-like empathy that allows one to surrender the potential profits of those pigs, understanding that we might have to change our way of life so that others might receive healing, mercy, and justice. Growing in relationship with Christ and surrendering our lives to the work of the Holy Spirit will often lead us into unknown territory. Jesus did not let the religious and societal norms of the time stop him, a Jewish man, from entering ceremonially unclean Gentile land. The people of Gerasene were filled with fear and asked Jesus to leave when they saw the miracle that he had done. Jesus did not let the potential fear of the Gerasenes stop him from healing the demon-possessed man. Surrendering our lives to the Holy Spirit can be fearsome. Relinquishing our perceived control means trusting that the Holy Spirit will carry us through whatever might arise. When we forget that we are made, loved, and kept by God, we forget to see those same properties in others, making it easy to abandon the pursuit of collective justice for all in an effort of a life with no spirit-filled interruptions. But Jesus knows the divine identity of every person, and because he knows this, he will not allow fear to stop him from delivering and healing all that is broken and lost. Although offering up ourselves to the healing embrace of God might cause us to change, although healing and justice for others might cost us some of our own comfort, and although others might deem us unlovable because of bias and cultural stigma, we know that God's love is working to make every heart whole. Will we recognize the Spirit's presence in our midst and surrender to their healing work in us? Will we be like the healed man who knows his belovedness and goes throughout the city proclaiming all that God has done for him? As Jan said in her blessing for a whole heart, let us all join in God's ancient, remembered rhythm that bears us not toward restoration, not toward return, but steadily deeper into the heart of the one who has already dreamed us and the whole world complete. Amen.